going.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to your Jefferson County Commissioners Court meeting. This is the October 6th, 2020. It's 10:33 a.m. We are on the record. We'll begin our meeting this morning with an invocation led by Reverend Hubb, followed by the pledge of allegiance led by Commissioner Sinnott.
Our Father, our God, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence. And we thank you, God, for all that you have done and all that you're going to do here on today. We thank you, God, that you've given us an opportunity to take care of this county's business. And we thank you for the leadership of this county and all of those who have served with them. And we pray that as the business is done today, that you would be in the midst. And we pray that every word and every thought would be conducive to what you would have done in this area. And we give you all the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join me. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
In our meeting today, we're about to under purchasing. Item A is to receive and file bids for an invitation for bid for term contract for aviation fuel for Jack Brooks Regional Airport. Item B and C have been requested to be tabled. In the county, do I have both of those items to purchase?
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Alford, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under county airport, we have two items. Item A is to consider possibly approving authorized county judge to execute a lease amendment for Jefferson County and ACS Objective Air LLC. The amendment adds a final survey with legal description and certificate of completion. The final survey increases the initial square footage of the lease from 22,500 square feet to 35,235 square feet. Item B is to consider and possibly approve fiscal year 2021 TxDOT routine airport maintenance grant to Jack Brooks Regional Airport. Be used for maintenance and improvement of airport paving, signage, drainage, fencing, herbicide, hangars, and terminal building with 50% match up to $50,000. We have a motion to move items under airport.
So moved.
Commissioner Sinnott, seconded by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under county auditor, item A is consider approving fiscal year 2021 budget transfer to JP Precinct 2. Additional cost for extra help in the amount of $18,000. Item B is consider approval of five public defender contract agreements from Criminal District Court, 257 Second District Court, and the Drug Impact District Court. Item C is consider and authorize county judge to sign related documents associated with the HIDTA grant award as approved by Commissioner's Court on July 17, 2020. Item D is consider approving authorized county judge to execute acceptance of grant award from the Center for Tech and Civic Life in the amount of $218,518.75 for safe and secure election administration expenses. Requires no match for that grant. Item E is consider approved expenditure by Constable Precinct 6 in accordance with and pursuant to Section 130.908 of the Local Government Code for the purchase of Polk City directories. Directory subscription service in the amount of $1,070. Item F is regular county bills, check numbers 475721 through 475962. That's a motion on those items under auditor.
So, second.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, seconded by Commissioner Hall.
One question, there's no match in that other, in that HDTA grant, correct?
No.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under County Commissioners, item A is consider possible approval authorized county judge to extend the declaration of local disaster date 3/13/2020 pursuant to Section 418.108B of Texas Government Code. Item B is consider possible approval extending the declaration for Hurricane Nora. Item C is consider possible approval 2021 county holiday. Item D is consider possibly approving authorized county judge to execute receipt file right-of-way agreement from Jefferson County and Exxon Mobil Corporation for a pipeline easement, work phase permit, and road use. Is that precinct four?
I think it's precinct one and four.
Item E is consider and possibly approve the proclamation for National 4-H Week. Item F, I'll come back to that. By addendum, item I is to consider and approve directing that all money that otherwise would be deposited in the salary fund should be deposited in the general fund of the county in accordance with local government code section 154.007. 9J is receive file the oath of office and statement of offer for truck factory board director for drainage district 6. So I have a motion on item A through E and I and J.
So moved. Second.
It is moved by Commissioner Sinegal, second by Commissioner Offord. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next we go to item F. Conduct a public hearing for the purpose of discussing and considering approving the establishment of Diamond Green Diesel Reinvestment Zone pursuant to Section 312 of the Texas Property Tax Code. Do I have a motion on that?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Offord, second by Commissioner Sinegal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Yes, have it. We now open up a public hearing on the establishment of the Diamond Green Diesel Reinvestment Zone. If anyone is on the phone line, we should speak, we'll need to press star 6 to unmute their line. Hearing no comments, we'll close this public hearing. Go on to item G is consider possibly approve action you receive file an order establishing the Diamond Green Diesel LLC Reinvestment Zone pursuant to Section 312 Texas Property Tax Code. And item H is consider possibly approve and authorize the county judge to execute a bank agreement between Jefferson County and Diamond Green Diesel LLC pursuant to Section 312.401 of the Texas Property Tax Code for property located in the DGD Reinvestment Zone. We have a motion on items G and H. Moved by Commissioner Weaver.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Sinegal. Any discussion?
I just want to make sure that we have the, anybody here from that, Fred?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir. We have them tied
like to
down.
Come up and give an overview of the project.
Happy to give a short overview. Hi, my name is Marty Lober. I work for Valero, but I'm here on behalf of Diamond Green as their appointed representative. This. We're excited to be bringing maybe the first renewable diesel plant to the state of Texas as we go through this process. The project under consideration would build a 35,000 barrel a day renewable diesel plant. And just to emphasize that renewable diesel is different than biodiesel. It's actual diesel that we source with animal waste and used cooking oil and vegetable products that are taken into the plant, deoxygenated, and then further refined into a diesel that has a very high value in the renewable fuels market. So that plant would be similar to one that we have already built and in the process of upgrading in St. Charles, Louisiana, outside a Valero refinery in the New Orleans area. So we are on track to try to get the project approved in the first part of next year. And if all goes well, we'll be constructing and operating this plant sometime in early 2024.
How many jobs?
Well, we said 25, but I think it'll be more than that. So, because we're essentially building a new production train that will sit on Valero property, but be leased to the joint venture. Diamond Green is not fully owned by Valero. It's a 50-50 joint venture between Valero and a company called Darling Ingredients, who is in the animal waste feed and fat space. So they've been our partner in the St. Charles limited venture, and now we're trying to bring it into Texas.
So. That's 25 permanent jobs or about construction jobs?
I'm trying to remember if you know that. Yeah, about 600 during the process.
And where on the Valero plant will it be located, off 87 or?
It's
on the south side.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how to describe it.
You might have stepped in.
Yeah.
It'll be on just north of 7th Street on the south side towards the old original administration building down there in the south of the plant.
Have you been in this area a while? I know your face.
3 years.
That's okay, thank you. Good to see you.
He's been in the open, Port Arthur Chamber of Commerce events and everything. He just didn't want to talk to you.
No, he didn't.
You say you got to talk now, Mike.
I arrived the week before Harvey.
Yeah.
And have me ever since. I would like to say though, one thing, you know, for the court, you know, again, been here 3 years since you had me out here. And I've lived kind of all over the country with Valero, moved around to 6 different cities. The city is so resilient in the, you know, the leadership here to get through all these events in the last 3 years, more than I've seen in my career anywhere. So, I mean, it's a great community to live in.
Thank you so much. I dished out plenty of criticism to Valero in the past because of uniformity and equality of taxation, but I also want to give you kudos because the one thing that y'all do extremely well is you hire local content, and I never get into complaints about Valero on that point. Deeply appreciative of it because you keep my phone from ringing by local contractor supplier activities.
Well, I would believe it's our advantage if someone lives close to the plant. Would you get them in there?
All right, any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. We'll move on to county tax assessor collector. We have one item to consider and possibly approve a resolution giving permission to the sheriff to conduct an auction to sell property currently held by Jefferson County and the entities for which it collects to be held on the first Tuesday of December 2020. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold, second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion?
Question. Where are you going to hold it at and how are we going to social distance?
Where is the auction going to be held?
Here in the jury family room. We're
going to
do it like we did the last one.
Okay.
Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Under engineering, we have four items. I may consider possibly approve a minor plat of Justin Lewis, lot 1, lot 2, and lot 3, 9.999 acres. Lying in the Susanna Horton Survey and located off of U.S. Highway 90 in precinct number 1. It's not in the extraterritorial jurisdiction of any city and met all of our planning requirements. Item B is to execute, receive, and file a road use agreement between Jefferson County and Exxon Mobil Corporation, local pipeline company to conduct pipeline installation and operation, located in precincts 1 and 4. It's the same one we just did.
Yeah, that's it.
Item C is to execute, receive, and file a pipeline permit to Exxon Mobil Oil Corporation Mobil Pipeline for the purpose of constructing, maintaining, and repairing two pipelines for the distribution of liquid hydrocarbons in precinct 1 and 4. And item D is consider possibly approved acceptance of James Lane, 1,044.22 feet, 0.198 miles of the final plat of Craven Place into the county road system, which is located in precinct number 2. Do I have a motion on that item under engineering?
Moved.
Moved by Commissioner Weaver, second by Commissioner Arnold. Any discussion?
Yes, Judge. Commissioner, in front of you today on item B. This plat is referenced to a concrete road that sits off of Creighton Road. The plat was originally approved by Commissioner's Court in 2009-2010. I came into office 2011, and they finished construction of the road. Engineer's office, as I understood it, wanted a 2-year warranty period on it. What we discovered was the ditches that were dug around the end of the cul-de-sac that you saw in the backup on the court's agenda on the plat. They dug the ditches too deep, or in engineer's opinion, around the backside of the cul-de-sac, which could have caused some erosion to occur around the concrete road. So it's obviously been past 2 years of the warranty. It does have 60-foot right of way. Steve, you want to?
Yes, sir. All the facts that you've laid out are just right down the line. We did have some reasons to ask for a 2-year warranty because we were not able to be on site when they poured the concrete. They poured it on a weekend, so instead of normal 1 year, we require 2. It's been 9. The road is still holding up. The ditches are very stable. At first, like I said, they were dug too deep, but they remediated that.
Yeah, they went in and had pipe and clamped filling out boxes where we asked them to do it, and we've had no issues there.
Right, I think the road, we've got to walk through, the road's in good shape, the ditches are good, and so we feel like it's a good. It's just fallen off the radar after the 2 years, nobody came back to request it being taken over, and it just dropped off. And now the residents are requesting that we go ahead and make this official and take it over.
It should be noted as well for the court that during Harvey and Melda, there was no flooding of any homes on the roadway.
What type of traffic is on that road?
It's a dead end road, so it just goes 600, 700 feet, and then has a cul-de-sac to come back out. So there's
just a dozen homes or so.
Yeah, small. Probably about 19 homes.
Well, I'm up here, I'd like to bring the court's attention to item A, when you're looking at that minor plat, the three lots. Since we've talked about road frontage recently, this there's 512 feet of frontage for this single 9 or almost 10 acre tract. It's being divided into three, which gives us 170 feet per lot, which meets our standard. But I just wanted to give you an example. This is on Highway 90, so it's also going to meet TxDOT standard. And it's hard to see in that small copy, but along the front of this property is a 25-foot ingress-egress easement, because it's in the 512 feet, TxDOT is only allowing one driveway. So all three of these lots will be accessed from one driveway to that property. So just kind of an idea of what other entities are doing.
All right, any other discussion of those items? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ayes have it. Under Management Information Systems, by addendum, we have one item. To consider possibly approving authorized county judge to execute, receive, and file a maintenance agreement from Jefferson County and Sirius Computer Solutions, Inc. for printers. That should not say new printers. Those are existing printers. It's just a maintenance agreement, and MIS made me aware of that this morning via email, because they couldn't be here because they're at the election bond. Do I have a motion on that item? Under MIS.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Arnold. Second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. And item under public health, we have one item. A, consider possibly approving authorized county judge to execute a telemedicine system and services agreement for Jefferson County Access Physicians Management Services Organization, LLC, for technology and software to enable telemedicine for the mobile unit. Do I have a motion on that item?
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Senegal.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Weaver. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That completes our regular agenda and addendum. And now it is time for public comment. I know the Mayor Martin was here. Mayor? And anybody who's on the phone that wishes to make public comment, please press R6 to unmute your line.
First, I'd like to say good morning.
Judge Brannigan, Starla Garlick with Agriculture.
Okay, we can wait 1 minute, Starla. Someone is already making a comment right now, and I will come back to you.
All right, do I mute the phone or just sit here quietly?
You can just sit there quietly.
First, I'd like to say good morning to everyone, and to this great court here in almost in the city of Portland, County of Jefferson. That actually deals with all of our county business, and I want you to know that I'm here not just because I'm the mayor of Port Arthur. This is my very first time since about 15 months ago being elected as mayor, coming before this auspicious group. Also, community as a private citizen in the county of Jefferson, and I'm situated over in the city of Port Arthur. And what I really want to speak with you on to be a definition that's used, that has been historically used here in our county for tax abatements, and with the abatements of taxes with, I guess, any industry. My very first opportunity to actually review a document was sent to me by your able assistant and attorney for this commission, Mr. Fred Jackson, about a week or so ago, when I had the opportunity to basically read through it. Since I've been there, that's my very first opportunity. One element that I would is the definition of local. I want it to be said.
What?
Right, sir.
Definition of what?
Local, the term local. And I want it to be said in the records to reflect that I am not against regionalism. I'm not against the regional approach that governments use all over this country to get things done. However, I embrace a simple term or simple definition of that term local. And I am asking your consideration, maybe that you all would take the time at some future point to reconsider the definition that you use for local. And you would actually have local be in whatever particular area, the industry that is requesting the abatement, local would be within that geographic area where that particular entity would be located. Case in point, in the city of Port Arthur, there is something I think that you already probably considered and passed. And we want to have industries in Port Arthur, but we would like to have some help with the term and the definition of local. And that local would mean if that industry is located in that particular governmental entity or in their extraterritorial jurisdictions, then that group of citizens would have first consideration for procurement and for employment. That's why I would want to have a consideration or reconsideration for that definition of local. Now, in the future, and I know that we may have some coming in the future, and I'm not just saying this for Port Arthur, but any area of our great county, and we have a vast county and a great county, and you are doing an outstanding job. I would ask for those individuals who are not even present here with me, yet I believe that they can embrace what I am saying if an industry would happen to come into their neighborhoods. The reason why, in the city of Port Arthur, I think you all know, we have a very high unemployment rate in the city of Port Arthur. We have citizens who are not totally trained for certain types of industry, but we are working with different entities, again, to train citizens and have citizens prepared for these jobs. But when the definition of local is placed in documents, those citizens who have received the training are not being given consideration for the employment in those different industries. So that is why I request from you now, and as long as I'm mayor of the city of Port Arthur, and I hope as long as the charter would allow me to be, that I will come before you with this consideration, not to just be bickering, not to just say that you're not doing a good job, but many individuals within the city of Port Arthur and other counties within this, or other cities rather, within this great county that we have, actually are not given consideration for jobs. I'm speaking now for Port Arthur. I have folks who need jobs, who would want jobs, and they are not being considered. The very last consideration I'd like to bring before y'all understand, I have, but I figure I should be by the end of it. That would be that if the governor would allow you, my county judge, and others who sit on this great court with him, to reconsider the fact of having only one drop-off place for the mail ballots, that is a form of voter suppression. And I believe that you have no other choice than to have it here in Beaumont. However, in other locations, in the city of Port Arthur, maybe even in Cheek, Texas, maybe anywhere not in Beaumont, may cause a problem for individuals to get their ballots in. That is a form of voter suppression. And I believe that our governor of this great state, I believe the governor is doing a good job, but I believe that is in question, and if you can do anything about it, I come before you, this court, on behalf of those citizens who can't get there and do those things. I appreciate you hearing me and allowing me to have this opportunity to speak during this session.
Thank you very much, Mayor. We'll consider that issue with the local definition. All right. Ms. Garland?
Yes, sir, we're here.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, Judge Brandon, and Commissioners, for declaring October 4th through the 10th, 2020 National 4-H Week in Jefferson County. I am Isaac DeVille from Reach 4-H Club and chairman of the Jefferson County 4-H Youth Council. I am here today representing my fellow council officers, Mallory Crabtree 4-H Club, Reach 4-H Club, John Bergeron, Mid County 4-H Club, Matthew Satchfield, Mid County 4-H Club, Maggie Landry, Reach 4-H Club, Shiloh Sanford, Reach 4-H Club, and Valley DeVille, Reach 4-H Club, along with over 200 county, Jefferson County youth that participate in our 9 local 4-H clubs. This year has been an interesting year to be in 4-H. We started this year always with, like always, with many plans and exciting opportunities. And then COVID-19 happened and things started changing. We had contests, events, livestock shows, and even our club meetings started canceling. This is where learning life skills and how to make things work comes into play. We started having virtual meetings. We still do not have our contests, and this year there are no state roundups. But we have come through the process and still evolving for the coming year. We are a community of young people learning leadership, citizenship, and life skills. In 2019-2020, we had 2,055 youth participate in our 4-H program that offer the opportunity to succeed by learning life skills. There were 75 entries at county competitions, and 17 4-H'ers completed at our district archery contest. 162 participants at 12 workshops. We've had 5 4-H members go to junior leadership lab and 40 participants in our annual 4-H login. This year, we also contributed to our community by donating to the Southeast Texas Food Bank, making warm hats and domes to donate to some other place. And 350 masks were made and donated for COVID-19. During National 4-H Week in 2020, we will participate with other 4-H members across Texas who will celebrate one day 4-H, where we will all be involved in our community services activities. In Jefferson County, each club will participate in individual activities across Jefferson County. So if you happen to see us out about on Saturday, please stop and say hi, so you can use National 4-H Week to learn more about Jefferson County, a specific program that gives youth the chance to learn together. So again, Judge Brannick and Commissioners, on behalf of Jefferson County 4-H, we would like to thank you for your continued support of the 4-H program.
Thank you so very much. We've gotten used to having y'all in court every year, a couple times a year. Sorry the present circumstances have not allowed us to do that this year, but we thank you for appearing electronically, and we wish all the best to all of the 4-H'ers in Jefferson County, and hope y'all have a great week.
Thank you, and we appreciate the opportunity.
Is there anyone else who wishes to make a public comment?
Judge, I'm going to say something, and I start off with Ms. Gidry. She has a great face mask on, and it says vote. I am also in agreements with, and I asked Ms. Gidry about the 2 locations that could we have more than 2, and she basically let us know we could have 2 by the governor's orders at that time. I, as a commissioner here, and understand something that the mayor said, our county is pretty large, and there's a large number of people in the southern part of our county. I don't think it's fair to have them have to drive up here to put it in. So as far as a commission on this court, I do want to make sure the governor know I am not in favor of one location. There's a large number of churches, and I'm gonna ask ministers if they can caravan people up if we don't get somebody to change it, because it's wrong, period. It's elderly people that is affected. And I have a deep, deep, deep rooted feeling in my heart for people that's elderly, because I hope to get that one day. And to me, that's unfair, period. The other thing I want to say to the court is vote. Everybody vote, and we must be very vigilant about wearing our masks and taking care of our community right now. We are on the low side per se, but as you see around the country, this thing just move around. We got to be careful. And Ms. Gidry, you're doing a great job. I'm supporting you. If anything you submit, we have to submit a resolution, I'm on board.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anyone else on the phone?
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Commissioner. Good morning to all the courts this morning, all the commissioners. I am Vernon Tubbs here representing TMO, a coalition of congregations that have been working in the community with issues for over 40 years, and also represent the Southeast Texas Faith and Community Leaders, as well as the Baptist Ministers Union of Beaumont and Vicinity. Judge, we were here last week speaking about the long-term disaster recovery. And you mentioned that you had a conference session last week to discuss it, and a workshop about the nonprofit organization that would be responsible for overtaking the funding that's going to be dismissed in January. So we're here this morning just to let you know that we as a community, we as a group, would feel honored if we could be able to work with you, the commission was court, on this issue. And we also have with us this morning Elder Harmon Dent, who has a few questions he would like to ask you about your meeting, if it's possible, on last Monday, last Tuesday that you had.
Good morning, everyone. Pastor Harmon Dent, representing TMO, also Southern Texas State Leaders and Community Leaders and Pastor Temple Praise Church. Thank you, Judge Granite, the commissioners, for the opportunity to speak. Based on the meeting or the session on last week, who will be structuring the components of the long-term disaster recovery program for Jefferson County?
There have been some discussions that have been held between Mr. Pierce, who is the former executive director of CTURF, who's our long-term recovery group, and the Young Men's Business League about the potential. I've also had conversations with former County Judge Carl Griffith, who committed to getting together a group after we learned from our legal counsel that we could not be involved in the formation of the nonprofit corporation, just the selection of a long-term recovery group. So that's the long and short of the discussions that have been had. I did speak to Chris Coletti late last night with the YMDL, who indicated that the meeting went well. And so but I was not present at the meeting.
Okay. That was talk of communicating with the Orange and Hardin counties. Were there opportunity to get research from them or not?
Those were actually in Orange and Hardin County, set up by the county, but based on the legal advice that we've received, that would not be appropriate for us.
Okay. Well, we as organization, we would want to be involved, supportive of the work to help our families recover. And if so, we'd like to know who we could, if that's possible, who we ought to contact to be involved.
Probably Mr. Pierce or Judge Griffin.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your
answer. Thank you for being here.
Yes.
Any further public comment? I just mentioned that what was formerly Tropical Storm Delta is now a Category 4. Hurricane about to make landfall on the Yucatan. It's forecast Friday or Saturday to come into southeastern Louisiana around New Orleans, but it's going to get in the Gulf and look like it's coming towards us. What the it's then supposed to turn to the northeast, but that's dependent upon the high-pressure system in the northeast weakening and drawing it that way. So let's be prepared. I said in September that we've never had a storm in October. Then again, this is 2020. As Mr. White pointed out, this is the second anniversary of 2020.
Judge, real quick, Ms. Gabriel, Ms. Yes, would y'all give us information on important election dates, such as last day to register, which I think is a field. I just wanted to hear whoever can help us with those. Okay.
Was it yesterday,
the
last
day? Yesterday was the last day to register.
First day of early voting.
We have hundreds of them.
Do you mind? I want to record it, whoever can feel comfortable.
Can you pass in the
mic? Oh, yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much. Yes, yesterday was the last day to register to vote. I know Ms. Gaston were terribly busy yesterday, probably still inputting today. Early voting does start this coming Tuesday, which is the 13th, and that's because Monday is actually a federal holiday. It's Columbus Day. So early voting will be from the 13th through the 30th. And then, of course, the election day is November 3rd. For those that's going to apply for mail ballots, your mail ballot application must be in our office by the 23rd. October 23rd is the last day to apply. We have been receiving mail ballots already because we did mail out over 9,000 last week. So they're starting to hit the mailboxes this week. We've had about 25 returned just this morning. Starting next week, Tuesday, the first day of early voting, with permission of Commissioner Arnold, who I hadn't had time to talk with this morning, maintenance and I walked the grounds, and the best place for the drive-through mail ballot drop-off will be a big tent that will be pitched out on the front parking lot to your left. So they'll be able to drop their ballots off between the hours of 8 and 4:30 or 8 and 6:30, depending on what time the polls close. Unless they choose to come in, it's up to the voter. A voter must present ID in order to drop off their ballot. They can only drop off their own ballot. You cannot drop off somebody else's ballot. So they will have to go through their process, sign, drop it off, and present ID in order to do it.
I understand if they registered online last night before midnight, that they have 4 days within which to turn in their paper application.
Right, that's correct. And I also want to kind of reiterate the fact that, you know, once you register to vote, you are registered to vote until such time as, you know, you have some sort of a change, or if you pass away. You do not have to register every single time. And we have hundreds and hundreds of applications in our office that we are going to be working on up until the very last minute, because we have so many people that think they need to register again. And so I want the public to know that you stay on the rolls unless you move or have a change in your life. We do not take you off the rolls, even if you don't vote. You still remain on the rolls. So there's no necessary need to re-register every single election.
Do they have the opportunity to call your office to check to make sure that they are eligible to vote? Because I think that when I listen to the media types are saying things, it's telling people to check, and they may just go and register again instead of calling in to check and see.
Right, and we've been encouraging that. And as everyone knows, any question of eligibility for any voter at any time, including the election, all comes through my office. So where Carolyn's office does the elections, we are very involved and have all hands on deck during the election time fielding those phone calls.
Thank you.
Not thank you all for being here, and the court is adjourned at 11:13 a.m.
Hey, good.